3 years after Angie Bachman declared bankruptcy, her father passed away. She'd spent the previous half decade flying between her home and her parents' house, tending to them as they became increasingly ill. His death was a blow. Then, 2 months later, her mother died. "My entire world disintegrated," she said. "I would wake up every morning and for a second forget they had passed. And then it would rush in that they were gone, and I'd feel like someone was standing on my chest. I couldn't think about anything else. I didn't know what to do when I got out of bed." When their wills were read, Bachman learned she had inherited almost $1 million. She used $275,000 to buy her family a new home in Tennessee, near where her mother and father had lived, and spent a bit more to move her grown daughters nearby so everyone was close. Casino gambling wasn't legal in Tennessee, and "I didn't want to fall back into bad patterns," she told me. "I wanted to live away from anything that reminded me of feeling out of control." She changed her phone numbers and didn't tell the casinos her new address. It felt safer that way. Then one night, driving through her old hometown with her husband, picking up the last of their furniture from her previous home, she started thinking about her parents. How would she manage without them? Why hadn't she been a better daughter? She began hyperventilating. It felt like the beginning of a panic attack. It had been years since she had gambled. But in that moment, she felt like she needed to find something to take her mind off the pain. She looked at her husband. She was desperate. This was a one-time thing. "Let's go to the casino," she said. When they walked in, one of the managers recognized her from when she was a regular and invited them into the players' lounge. He asked how she had been, and it all came tumbling out. Her parents passing, and how hard it had hit her. How exhausted she was all the time. How she felt like she was on the verge of a breakdown. The manager was a good listener. It felt so good to finally say everything she had been thinking and be told that it was normal to feel this way. Then she sat down at a blackjack table and played for 3 hours. For the first time in months, the anxiety faded into background noise. She knew how to do this. She went blank. She lost a few thousand dollars. Harrah's Entertainment, the company that owned the casino, was known within the gaming industry for the sophistication of its customer tracking systems. At the core of that system were computer programs much like those Andrew Pohl created at Target. Predictive algorithms that studied gamblers' habits and tried to figure out how to persuade them to spend more. The company assigned players a predicted lifetime value and software-built calendars that anticipated how often they would visit and how much they would spend. The company tracked customers through loyalty cards and mailed out coupons for free meals and cash vouchers. Telemarketers called people at home to ask where they had been. Casino employees were trained to encourage visitors to discuss their lives in the hopes they might reveal information that could be used to predict how much they had to gamble with. One Harrah's executive called this approach Pavlovian marketing. The company ran thousands of tests each year to perfect their methods. Customer tracking had increased the company's profits by billions of dollars and was so precise they could track a gambler's spending to the cent and minute. Harrah's, of course, was well aware that Bachman had declared bankruptcy a few years earlier and had walked away from $20,000 in gambling debts. But soon after her conversation with the casino manager, she began receiving phone calls with offers of free limos that would take her to casinos in Mississippi. They offered to fly her and her husband to Lake Tahoe, put them in a suite, and give them tickets to an Eagles concert. "I said my daughter has to come, and she wants to bring a friend," Bachman said. No problem, the company replied. Everyone's airfare and rooms were free. At the concert, she sat in the front row. Harrah's gave her $10,000 to play with, compliments of the house. The offers kept coming. Every week, another casino called, asking if she wanted a limo, entry to shows, plane tickets. Bachman resisted at first, but eventually she started saying yes each time an invitation arrived. When a family friend mentioned that she wanted to get married in Las Vegas, Bachman made a phone call, and the next weekend, they were in the Palazzo. "Not that many people even know it exists," she told me. "I've called and asked about it, and the operator said it's too exclusive to give out information over the phone. The room was like something out of a movie. It had 6 bedrooms and a deck and private hot tub for each one. I had a butler."